Before we head into this episode, just a heads up that this episode was pre-recorded from late 2025. Some of the films mentioned won't be the most recent releases, but if you want to stay up to date with the industry and see what's going on, then check out our socials at alwaysonfilm.pod, or you can stay tuned for our upcoming season 2. Enjoy!
Do another clappy clap.
Yeah.
Epic okay. Clapping.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Hello everybody and welcome to Always on Film, brought to you by the Transmission Roundhouse.
In this week's episode, Imi, Luel and I are talking to the lovely Yali Topol-Margolis about all things drama school, entering into the industry and her exciting work in things from The Tattooist of Auschwitz to Good Girl's Guide to Murder.
So we are really excited to also be doing a giveaway this episode. We'll be giving away 2 signed copies from A Good Girl's Guide to Murder series. We've got the first one and the second one, which the second series is going to be based on. And all you need to do to enter is to make sure you're following us at Always On Film, tag 3 friends in the comments and share it to your story.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Well, we kind of just start by talking about what we've seen this week. So just generally, like, is there anything...
Or not even this week, but like recently. Any movie that stood out for you recently that you've watched?
Yeah, you know what I watched the other day? I watched Juno.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
I haven't seen it since I was about, what, 10?
Yeah, it's a proper
and
classic.
And you watch it in a, from a completely different lens.
For sure.
As an adult, as an actor.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It is. It is really good.
I love
that
music.
Film.
The characters are beautiful. And the style is really gorgeous. And now everything I read, every script that I get, I read as if it's Juno. Since then, it's like a week ago, my friend got an audition and he was like, can you help me with this tape? And I was like, of course. And he read it to me and I was like, yeah, I just feel like it's more quirky and underplayed.
A little bit more of this.
It's like, you're talking about Juno again, aren't you?
I
am talking about Juno.
I feel that way about Perks of a Wallflower. And I watch it again now and it hits different. Yes. Like, it's just so good.
Michael Cera is phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's so good. He's phenomenal in everything. Yeah.
No, he is really good.
So good.
What have I watched? Oh, I watched 10 Things I Hate About You yesterday.
Nice. Another classic. I haven't seen that in years.
Yeah.
So good.
Loved it.
Amazing.
Loved it. I was honestly debating if I put it in like my top 4 and then I was like, no, I've switched it like 3 times in the last month, so I actually need to stop.
Yeah. I feel like that's valid though.
Yeah, it's just such a good film.
Yeah.
And I needed something like uplifting. In the last episode we talked about this, but Kitty and me went to see the Stephen King The Long Walk.
Oh God.
Still getting over it.
Wait.
I was gonna say I was still getting over it. It's a brilliant film.
Is it?
It's very intense.
I'm not great with horror.
I'm not,
but recently I've been tiptoeing into it because my partner is obsessed with horror and I know
Does he just have a horror. Yeah. Does he have a favourite horror? Do you have a favourite horror?
Girl, no.
No.
I would rather
I'll ask
watch
you again in a month.
Comedy.
Anything else.
But this was a very good movie, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I really enjoyed
it. It was amazing, but I will say I was spending half of it under my coat because I'm not good with graphic injuries.
Oh, neither.
So is it?
It's basically the entire that kind of horror.
Is it like warfare level? Where
I haven't seen that, but I've heard it's a similar ankle injury situation.
Oh no!
Yeah,
no.
Thank God for Luel.
No, I literally went because I knew when the injuries were coming, so I literally turned to Kitty and I was like, "This is the time to hide under your jacket."
Well done. You're a really
like,
good
do not
friend.
Look.
That's really kind.
It's party time.
Go under.
I know. I've mainly been watching, similar to you, very wholesome things. I think trying to like correct the like
that
long walk
undo
moment. I really watched this film I watched when I was a kid and it's very rogue. It's an adaptation of Pollyanna.
Oh,
but
what's that?
It's a kid's book. But when I watched it, the adaptation I watched when I was a kid, she's British. And then I found out that the book is American.
I was going
to
say.
And she's meant to be American.
Yeah.
So it just really like threw me for a loop.
Why have they taken it in that direction?
I have no idea.
Why not?
Rewatched it and no shade to that film, but maybe don't always rewatch films from your childhood.
Don't be your hero.
Yeah, sometimes you can just like leave them.
I feel that about a lot of old Adam Sandler movies that I used to watch and be like, gosh, what a dream, what a perfect script. And then you rewatch it and you're like,
oh, yikes. It was hard to swallow.
Yeah.
Imogen.
I saw last night one battle after another.
Oh.
Wait, that is what it's called, isn't it? Yeah.
Way.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We
want
to go see
good.
That next week.
Yeah, it was good.
That.
Yeah.
Is it 3 hours long?
Yeah, it is long. Mm. Yeah.
3 hours.
And I struggled to
Why
sit
a movie
still.
So long?
Yeah, I know. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to. I can't. To be fair, I didn't know it was 3 hours before I sat down, which I'm glad about. Because I would have been spiraling
yeah,
all day.
Quite grateful.
Like, oh my God, I need to bring my fidget toys. Yeah. Like, yeah.
40 minutes in.
Yeah, literally. But it was good. I thought it was paced very well. There was a specific car chase at the end that was like quite long. But the pacing was great. For me, I struggled with concentrating, so for me it was great.
Okay.
That was a win.
I was going to say that's a high review from you.
I gave it 4.5.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I gave it 4.5. Leonardo DiCaprio, it's so silly as well, and it's so fun. And
the trailer looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's so weird, and I can't remember her name, the girl who plays Willa. It's quite like a breakout role for her. She plays Leonardo DiCaprio's daughter.
Right.
And she was great in it. And I haven't seen Leonardo do something so silly in a long time.
Yes, I know who she is. She is friends with my friend. And I remember my friend talking to me for a long time about, she's like, oh, I met this girl. She's American. I met this girl and she just did a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and it's going to be so good.
Yeah.
I was just like
who's
cute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then this came out and I was like, wait, that's the girl. Everyone's talking about this movie.
Yeah.
And there's a buzz.
Fantastic.
It's set to be nominated for
Oscar. Well, exactly, because everybody who's reviewing it is raving about it. Like The Guardian, I think, recently did a review on it.
Yeah, they did 5 stars.
I was going to say, I was like, oh, you don't see that a lot.
What?
But the music, like, if you listen to the soundtrack without knowing what the you'd be like, what the fuck? Like, none of this makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's like opera going on, this drum and bass, this like Challengers-esque like going on. But like, it was so good.
Yeah.
It was so weird, but it just worked.
Love a weird movie.
Ugh,
you've just sold it to
me.
I was going to say,
we've been meaning to book it. We need to do that.
Yeah.
So,
we've got some icebreaker questions. Like, a few. I don't know, how would you just, like, quick fire?
Yeah, just, like, the, you know, simple questions. Just what, basically, what's your favourite film? Do you have a favourite film? Top three, top four?
I have my top four.
Yeah, give us your top four.
I have my top four, and I've written them down because I don't like to be on my phone when I'm talking to people.
This is literally directed at me and Amy with our phones out.
Yeah, I'm like,
not to judge.
This side of the table.
Not to judge.
Damn it! Damn it!
No, it's a me thing. No, I get that. It's a me problem because my phone is work. And it's always with me and it's constant and my family is always complaining about it because while they're talking to me I'm like
yeah.
I was checking my emails so anyway
no fair
my top four okay I saw this movie it's called My Favorite Cake. Does anyone know it?
No.
It changed my life.
Okay.
I went to the BFI and saw it on South Bank and saw it with my friend. It was super spontaneous.
Yeah.
And they handed out leaflets before to like explain about the movie. It's an Iranian film and it's basically about two people who are in their 80s, I think, a man and a woman, and they fall in love. And they decide to be together and they have sex and cook for each other and play games and listen to music and get really drunk. And it's everything that leads up to it and their lives before they met each other. But it's just perfect.
Oh.
I thought it was perfect. It's definitely not a feel-good film. It was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But just very authentic. And it was written by a man and a woman, and they both basically did everything on it. They were writers, producers, directors, costume designers, production designers. So it really is like someone's passion project.
Baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
like we talked about before we started recording about when you write something and then you hand it over to someone else.
Yeah.
What is that like?
Yeah.
They got to do everything pretty
much.
So nice. And you feel it.
Yeah.
Highly recommend My Favourite Cake.
I need to check that out.
Recommend it more.
Add it to the watch list. Yeah.
Add it to the watch list.
Yeah.
Then I've got Tangerine. I just love Tangerine. Sean Baker.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't love Sean Baker. I don't know Sean Baker personally. Yeah. But I like his work.
Like his work.
I really liked Anora when I saw it.
Loved Anora.
Wow.
Loved
I was like,
that
that's what I want to do. I want to do that.
Yeah. Exactly like that. Exactly.
Can we do a remake? Like this year.
Yeah, and I thought Tangerine was just perfect.
Yeah, brilliant.
the way that he uses non-actors and actors. And he filmed the whole thing on an iPhone. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's mad.
Wow. Really?
How impressive is that?
See, you can make movies without fancy equipment.
With anything. Yeah. You can do anything. Yeah.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
I love
that.
Wow. It blew my mind.
Yeah.
And it's shot so beautifully.
It's stunning.
The way it flows, the storytelling. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's being... Oh, and now is the introduction to a new character. And this person. Everything feels natural and organic and important.
Yeah.
Equally important. So have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Must.
But I do like Sean Baker.
It's on Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh. It's on Amazon Prime.
Today.
Mm. Yeah.
Tonight.
Easy.
Tonight, yeah. Do
easy.
It.
It's about sex workers in LA. Mm.
Okay.
In the early 2000s?
I think so.
I can't remember. But that sounds right to me.
Yeah. Based on the fashion.
Yeah, I'm definitely assuming that, right?
It's like all his movies, funny and heartbreaking and quite...
He's a brilliant writer.
Educational, felt like. I think so.
Yeah.
He just always gets the balance right, I feel.
I think that's why Anora landed so well, because it was so heartbreaking and life-affirming at the same time.
Yeah, as well as being hilarious.
Ridiculous,
So it's
it's just so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's that one. And then Best in Show is probably one of my favorites.
Oh, okay. I have not seen that.
Best in Show is a comedy, and it's one of those movies that you really like watching as an actor. I think you watch it and you think about how much fun it was to make. Mm. It's a mockumentary.
Yeah. Nice. I love a mockumentary.
Mockumentary. Yeah. I love The Office and Arrested Development is not a mockumentary, but it's something about it.
I was going to say it feels
it's
like
filmed or handheld.
Yeah. Abbott Elementary.
I know.
Oh, also, my God.
I just love that.
Abbott Elementary. Yeah. The way
I haven't seen the latest season, but I've been...
It's great,
I was
going
to say I need to watch it.
It's great. Damn. I feel like, especially in Abbott, the way that the camera is another... character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the entire documentary team is an entire unseen part of it, and it just makes it so funny.
And how people change as soon as the camera's in the room, when they know it's in the room, when they don't. They did it in The Office as well. It's just, it's so good. So ridiculous. Best in Show is one of those. Mm-hmm. And the cast is just redonkulous. I'm not even going to start naming people because every name is a killer.
Yeah.
And it's about a dog show.
Oh,
competition.
Yes.
And the kind of people that go.
Wait, how have I never heard of this?
You've seen it?
It's so good.
I've never seen this.
It's ridiculously funny. It's just brilliant. And it's one of those where, again, I think if you're an actor, you watch it and then you rewind and you watch another part again and then you go back and you're like, I can't believe that this happened.
Yeah.
How did they think of this? Yeah. Love that. Love that movie. And my top one is probably, it's Yannick. I don't know if you guys know Yannick.
Rings a bell.
Y-A-N-N-I-K.
Yeah.
It's a French movie by Quentin Dupieux. And it's just like, I like theatre a lot.
Yeah.
And I like films that are like a play.
Mm.
And I also like plays that are like a film.
Yeah.
It's like all of my passions in one thing.
Yeah.
And when I watched Yannick, I think I just graduated from drama school where theatre was my life and my world. And I
it takes over.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I watched this movie that was a sort of a, like a play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like a pressure cooker film, and it comments on the industry. It's about this French guy that goes to see a play, and he's sitting there and the play's going on, and he just stops it and says, is this it? Because this is not good enough. I paid to be here. I took a train from far away.
Yeah, like I travelled here.
I have work tomorrow and I'm getting less sleep for this. That's it. And just the way it escalates is redonkulous and hilarious and scary.
That's
tease.
I was going to say, your top four are amazing. They're amazing. Yeah, I'm like so intrigued now.
Thanks. Maybe I'm overselling as well.
No,
not at all.
But I'm like, now I'm intrigued by the dog show and the theatre guy.
Yeah.
I need to watch these
Yannick.
Now.
And it's only 67 minutes.
Oh, that's so short.
That's right.
Your
Spanish
break.
Yeah. I know, right? I couldn't recommend it more.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you have like a favourite cinema that's like your go-to? In London or
the
anywhere.
BFI.
The BFI.
On
nice.
South Bank.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's so
South
cool.
Bank
so
is
nice.
Unreal as
I
well.
I love the cafe in there as well.
It's lovely.
Yeah,
and I also really, really like old cinemas.
Yeah,
same.
I like the feeling. It feels like you're a kid again and you're going with your parents.
You're like excited.
There's a cinema in Austria, in Vienna, that I really like called, I actually have it written down, at Vienna Votiv Kino.
Votiv Kino.
And I just, I love it so much because it feels really underground.
Yeah.
But they have amazing facilities. Mm. And I went to see We Live in Time there. But I tend to get, my emotions are really strong and high.
Yeah.
And my amazing partner, Timo, thought that it would be an easier experience to watch this movie if we watched it while it was being screened for babies. So they have something called Baby Kino.
Baby Kino!
Which is when people that have kids, have babies under the age of one, can go with their child.
So if it screams, it's okay.
If it's crying, it's okay. Yeah. And so the lights are not all the way down.
That's so
and
nice.
The volume is not all the way up.
Wow.
And we were...
It's just like a softer screening of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I love babies.
Yeah.
I so does he. So... we went there and the whole way in, people kept being like, you do know what this is.
Yeah.
Are you aware? Yeah. And we were like, hey. It was like at 10 a.m. And it was just the perfect way to watch this story about a family and falling in love. So it wasn't too overwhelming. Every time something horribly sad happened, a baby just farts. And you're
And you're like, that's life is beautiful.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Good.
I love that cinema.
Yeah.
That's like the Curzon does a Dog Day screening on a Sunday morning.
I always want to. I was going to say, I want to go to those.
Dog Day? Really?
And they do the same thing.
Bring a dog along, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they lower
really
the lights.
Nice. Do that at Picture House as well.
They probably do.
I think they might do, yeah.
Okay. I went with my like, parents' dog, and they like give you a little bag of like treats to take in. There's blankets. Oh, it's so cozy.
That's really cool.
Literally, and you're just sat next to like a Labrador and a Shih Tzu, and you're like, what is going on? Like, this is really weird.
It's like my dream.
Yeah, it's so good. We saw Inside Out 2 last time I went.
Yeah,
it was great.
What a movie.
Yeah,
what
so good.
Yeah, anxiety stressed me out.
Yeah. In my mind. Yeah.
And I was like, how would you live up to the first one? But no, it was great.
They did it.
They handled
it really
perfect.
Did.
Yeah, they did.
Really, I've not watched it
either. What?
No,
you
need to.
I think you'd like it.
I think you'd like it too.
You're missing out.
I mean, I probably
the animation's really good as well.
I just haven't.
Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's on there, I think.
Tonight.
Go home. Yeah.
Watch it now.
We've got homework to do.
Cool.
Well, you spoke a bit about your industry right after graduating a bit earlier. What was your entry like into the industry? Did you know that you always wanted to pursue acting from a young age? Was it kind of what you expected?
Oh God! Imagine.
There it is. It's what you said. What you were afraid to do.
Yeah. And I didn't even have it on the water. What the hell?
Sauce. I always knew I wanted to be an actor. Mm. Yes, since I was a kid. My grandfather was an actor, and I remember I must have been 3 or 4, and he was already like, "You are an actor, my darling."
Wow.
And you're just, like, yes, okay.
Yes, Papa.
Yeah.
I just thought, I think he's right. Yeah, and he always took me very seriously as an actor, even when I was doing ballet shows that were really, really shit, or like...
just twirling in one space.
Yeah, like, but like, it was my life, you know? I was like, the stage. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And he would always watch all my like living room shows on the sofa, like... completely invested in what I'm doing and watching me like I was a professional actor. So I sort of started taking myself very seriously as an actor from a young age.
I was going to say, that's really nice. Silly. You get the support of that. Yeah.
Yeah, that mindset, I think, is a gift.
I was going to say, I think a lot of people experience it, especially if they don't have artists within their family.
Yeah.
You know, you say, I want to do a creative job.
Mm-hmm.
Something like acting, which can be so intimidating. And often it's not taken serious if you start. And then you kind of need to prove it to people that
and sometimes
this is actually
you need
something.
To prove it to yourself,
before you prove it to anybody.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
And it's hard when all you hear is, well...
it's more a hobby than a career.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Really, I think you believe it.
And, yeah.
I think that was probably my biggest privilege, growing up in a house that theatre was not only alive, and my mum was an actor, my dad is a musician and was a musical director.
Yeah.
So just being able to go to the theatre and even discover that this is something that I'm interested in is such a privilege.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people go through their whole life and then suddenly go, oh shit, I think I want to be an actor. And it's like, I've never been to the theatre. Maybe I've been twice. I've seen the 2 blockbuster, whatever is on, you know. And starting my research at such a young age was just, that was a gift.
Wonderful.
From my family, really. Yeah. They've been so supportive always. And yeah, did the Brit school thing.
Oh, you did.
Oh, cool. Nice.
That was fun. I did 4 years of musical theatre.
Ooh.
And I was very committed. Yeah. Maybe too committed, I think. I think back to my training at Brit, and then I went to Mount View as well, and I did musical theatre there. Mm-hmm. And kind of wish I had a bit more fun.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I just didn't go out.
Yeah, it's probably didn't do really anything. Easy to take it very serious, right? To, like, completely immerse yourself in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it feels like the most... you went as well. It feels like the most important thing in the world.
Be all in and all, kind of.
And it's... Yes. And it's really hard to just go and breathe.
Yeah.
And go for a drink.
Yeah, go have a
silly sausage.
Yeah.
Get out of your room. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
The monologue again?
Yeah, we were speaking to someone about this the other day, and she was saying, like, remembering why you did it in the first place was because you just liked it. You enjoy doing it. And that's
100%.
And you sometimes, when training, especially being so intensive and rigorous, you forget that, I mean, you're just doing it because you signed up for it. No one forced you. Yeah. You know, it's fun.
She also said, which I loved as well, that you need to remember to live. As well, and that will inform your art as well, but it also just helps you mentally.
So
like,
true.
You can't just be locked in this space where you're taking everything so seriously and you're worrying about every single aspect of, you know, what your future career is gonna look like. That's all well and good, but if you're not living right now,
I was gonna say, if you kind of dwell in that fear, it's not gonna get you anywhere.
I was just like, intelligent.
So wise.
We're trying to be actors and we're trying to tell stories about life without actually living life. It's really hard to do that.
Yeah.
It's also really hard. I'm in a weird place right now where I'm trying to figure out how to play characters that are not very eccentric, very into like pop culture and all that stuff, because all my friends are actors or filmmakers I'm already quite, you know, extra, and then I'm surrounded by people who are the same, and then I get a tape for shy, introverted,
wallflower
girl, and I'm just like, I don't even know how to begin.
How do I do that?
Shy. Okay, shy.
Yeah.
But I loved Brit. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And then I also really, really loved Mount View a lot. I felt really supported. I know some people have an experience with drama school where they feel a bit squashed.
Yeah.
Like their sense of self has been squashed. But I think... For me personally, my experience of Mount View was very encouraging.
Yeah.
My individuality.
Yeah. Mine too. I felt like that too.
Yeah.
Shout out Mount View.
Shout out to Mount View. Changed my life. But also, you know, you have to be a certain kind of person to, I think, benefit from these kind of institutions.
Yeah.
You have to be someone who is very self-assured.
Yeah.
And is able to filter some things that are told to you. Because some you know, the teachers are there to share their experience and their knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of the same as what we're doing here, maybe. And sometimes just because it's my personal experience of the industry or this monologue or this song doesn't mean that it's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And if you go into this kind of space with that headspace, it's much easier to enjoy and to not be so hard on yourself when something doesn't land with you.
That's honestly really good advice.
It couldn't all land on you,
no,
because it's not all for you.
It's mad that like you do 3 years where people just tell you to do things differently and you become so self-critical, like for me, I became, I don't know, I've found myself becoming a little bit selfish, or I don't know. I just get these personality traits that I think I developed from being so hard on myself, or focusing on getting a first in this show, or damn it, I wasn't projecting. Like, I need to like have my shoulders back and think about this more. And then suddenly I can't move my shoulders for 2 weeks because I'm just like carrying so much tension around. Yeah. It's like you forget that you're meant to be silly and playful. And also it's so subjective that like...
100%.
You know, they might not actually be right. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. But like someone else might have loved that. Mm.
Yes. Is there something that you remember learning at Mount View that maybe you hadn't embodied as much before that you go back to some certain advice when you're filming something now?
So much.
Yeah.
So much.
Sorry, big question.
No, it's great. I think one of the best things that I think about a lot is this idea of like a title. and how the first time that your character is on screen and the first thing that they say sort of needs to establish who they are. And if you approach a character in a way where you want to go, I want to go against this, I want to show an opposite side to this character, I want to show, don't start with it. And I don't know why I never thought of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never had it like that.
I don't know why I never thought of that. Sorry, I thought I blocked. I'm like,
no, okay. Then, basically.
Yeah, I think that's always been really helpful for me. Mm-hmm. And, oh my gosh, I mean, so much. Sometimes I'm about to do a scene and I'm like, I'm so bored of this. I've already done this a million times and I don't know how to enjoy myself, and I need to enjoy myself, especially if I'm doing comedy, which is mostly what I'm doing. So I'm going to do this take as the color green. I'm just going to do it as the color green. I'm not going to ask too many questions. Sometimes you just do it as green or as a bird or as, you know, sometimes that kind of stuff that they taught us that felt in the moment like so wanky and you're doing it for 3 hours. You're water for 3 hours. In the moment, just having that in my back pocket. I don't even realize it's in there. I'm just like, I need to do something to change this up. This is going to be it. Do you agree? Really
nice. Fully. So interesting. And also, like, I feel like some of the things we did, like 6 weeks of animal studies, that was just like a life lesson in stop being embarrassed of yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was being a squirrel for 6 weeks straight. Oh my God.
Next
I
to
was
like. A squirrel too. Woo! Look at you
guys. Was the fittest I've ever been. I don't know why I picked that. Because someone picked a sloth and slept for 6 weeks straight. I was like, you are quite clever. Like, why did I pick a squirrel? Like, honestly, I had a six pack by the end. But anyway, I felt like I'd gone there. I got into drama school during COVID, so it was like all self-tapes. Mm-hmm. Mountview had like never even seen how tall I was. Like, they just like put me in this class
like,
of 18.
Guys, I'm
5'10. Yeah, I was like, sorry. No, I'm kidding. No, but like, yeah, literally just like getting rid of any embarrassment and I don't know, getting rid of tension and being silly, like...
Drama school is just getting used to humiliation.
Yes.
And then it just doesn't, nothing feels like a big deal anymore.
Especially
if you've been a squirrel for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, I was like honestly, the world's my oyster right now. Like,
I could do anything.
I can do anything. You know,
if in climb doubt.
A tree.
If in doubt, be a squirrel.
Be a squirrel.
I could nibble on some food.
I could eat a nut.
I could.
I can literally do that anyway.
Nibble and,
funny.
Yeah.
Memories.
What was the question?
Did we have a question? The industry, starting the industry.
Did my third year shows and my school invites agents to come and see us.
Nice. And like a little showcase.
Yes, but they also invite them to the productions that we do. So we did a production, first drama school production of Les Mis.
Oh,
it was cool. That was radical.
Should that be a thing?
Yeah.
No.
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 Don't be silly. No. We did it.
Yeah.
Nah. And a lot of agents came, and then I was in Company, Stephen Sondheim's Company, and I loved it. And you saw it.
I did. That's I saw so Les Mis cool. as well.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, because Mountview like changed it completely.
Yeah, well, very we did cool. Les Mis, but we did it in the future, but not that in the future.
Oh. But like today.
2030.
Yeah. Oh.
And it was just a bit like, so how like, do
what
we
happening?
How do we show that?
Yeah.
How do we... And nobody really knew, I think, that that was happening, but...
It was cool, Ebony playing guitar, didn't she?
Yeah, it was weird in a very Mountview way.
Yeah.
And really, really fun to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was fun to watch, particularly.
Oh, no, I loved it. I had no idea what was, like, coming next.
Happening.
Anything could happen, yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, that was fun.
I think a lot of people were jealous that you guys got Les Mis, because that's, like, musical theatre. Mm. That's, like, the musical you think of first.
Yeah. Anyway.
Moving on.
Then we did Company, and I loved Company so much, and my agent came to see this show, and at
fell
the time
in love with you.
Well, we fell in love with each other, honestly. At the time I was having a lot of meetings with a lot of agents, and when I met her I just couldn't.
You're
everything
just like
stopped.
You're my person.
We like touched fingers and the universe exploded. It was magical. She's just so fierce and so strong and funny and kind and opinionated, and she feels like my older sister now. She doesn't really feel like my agent, and I love her, and I'm so grateful for her. And she was like, listen, you should do screen. You should try it, at least. How do you feel about that? And I was like, yes, and. Fresh out of school, yes, and. And so she put me up for a bunch of auditions, and just based on the... on my tapes, she sort of understood my vibe, which was really cool.
That's really good,
She got me like this and didn't put me in a box either, sent me lots of different things. And at first I thought, oh, I can't do that. I'll tape it, but I can't do that and I can't do this. Especially like the serious stuff, the dramas. Yeah. I went through all of drama school never doing anything serious ever.
Really?
That's right. I thought it was boring. And so I just, doing that felt really foreign and uncomfortable. Mm. And then when I started getting recalls for those kind of things and booking those kind of things, I was like, oh, I can do more than just be silly and goofy and funny. I can also be, you know, that bitch.
I can do that.
So she really pushed me and... it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I'm so grateful for her for her exposing me to this part of the industry because I completely fell in love with it.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Took some time. It was really scary at first. Even just being in front of a camera set, they're so scary. Big. Yeah.
You're like, why is this gigantic camera in my face?
And asking everyone, what's that? What's this? What is that? Because no one tells you anything.
Yeah, you kind of just rock up.
You just rock up and expected to know all these things and all these... I was like, I need to pee. And they're just like, 10-1. And I don't know what...
Yeah,
and
you're like, ah.
What means 10... Yeah. What does 10-2 mean?
Yeah.
It's poo. So she was always there. I could always call her and say, what's that? What are they doing?
People are saying something at me. Like, what does this mean?
And it's very different to theatre.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, how did you find then your acting and everything changed or stayed the same from going from like theatre to then screen work?
Yeah, really changed. Mm. Really changed. Straight out of drama school, I did an advert for Samsung.
Yeah.
Oh,
fun fact.
It was on Peck and Plex. Like, we were all like, oh my goodness,
really?
Yeah.
That's quite funny.
It's funny.
We filmed that for a week where were we?
Somewhere.
Somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
I just never went outside. It was like a week of just being in this warehouse where we filmed.
Very intense.
I think it was kind of the perfect way to be introduced into film because I was just a puppet. I mean, I was just doing what I was told, and when I wasn't doing what I was told, I was told off. You know?
I
was like, I'm gonna do this one different, and they were like, no, do it the same.
Yeah,
I was like, right, of course I'm gonna do it the exact same. So doing that for a week, I think, was a really good introduction to what set is like. Then I did a musical at the Donmar called The Band's Visit. And it was an amazing experience. And I was pretty much just doing improv comedy every night.
Nice.
I didn't really have that many lines, but I knew that my character was stupid and slutty. So sort of within stupid and slutty, I played a lot.
Yeah.
And then straight after that, I did The Tattooist of Auschwitz. Mm. And that was quite scary.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's quite... You know, especially if you come from like a comedy background or you just did something that was so comedic.
Yeah.
How did you personally like handle prepping yourself for a world that's quite dark?
I think I didn't really know that I was going to need to do that.
Yeah.
Because I've never really done it before.
Mm. Right.
So I just sort of went in ready to play.
Yeah.
The way I prepped is not the way I prep for screen anymore. It's the way I prep for theatre. You know, in theatre, the script is the Bible.
Yeah.
The word script, the text is the Bible.
Mm.
It's, you study it deeply. Every word, every punctuation means something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone sat and thought about it.
Yeah.
Really thought about it.
Yeah. Like, what's the objective of that line, etc.
Yes, I work with lists a lot. I make lists, which was one of the things that they taught us at Mountain View that really worked for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just means that I end up reading the play about 6 times and I just, I never have to learn the words, I just know them by the end. With TV, the scripts change daily. Mm. They change all the time.
Yeah, sometimes they even change, I've heard they change like an hour before you're meant to be
shooting sometimes on the spot they go actually, like,
oh, here's this monologue.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, all the time. So you have to get good at learning text.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also you have to not it's not, you can't put it on a pedestal before you reach the set.
Yeah.
In the moment, it is important and you give it everything, but it's more about the journey of the scene than the specific words you're saying. Mm-hmm. Don't build an entire character on one word that you say.
Yeah.
You know, don't develop a shtick because of one thing that you say about having asthma. Right. You know, don't
do that.
Don't be coughing in every scene. Yeah.
Might be cut. And then you're just weirdly coughing in every scene. So I didn't have to do any of that, and I did. I also didn't really have to put myself in a headspace where my imagination was working very, 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 very strongly. Like I do in theatre. In theatre, you're sat, I mean, you're stood on a stage in a dark room with like hundreds or thousands of chairs in the dark facing you.
Yeah.
You have to be really good at ignoring that and being in the imagination of this play and pretending like you're drinking
very
a drink.
Little. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's nothing around you. There's like, come here, doggy, and there's nothing there,
there's
you know?
No dog.
And then suddenly I'm on a set where they say action, and I have these, I'm in the clothes, and I have a number on my arm, and we're in Slovakia, in Bratislava, and it's cold. It really is cold. Yeah. I don't have to think about it being cold.
Because
it really is. Yes.
Mm, yeah.
And this soldier, this Nazi soldier, is coming towards me and is looking at me, and I don't think about, okay, he's more important to me. He just is.
He just is. You're just in that world then.
And there's the extras. You know, we have background. We have like 300 background or something. And they're all fucking freezing. And you just don't have to put yourself. So putting myself in that headspace was just not beneficial for me offset. So offset, it was really hard. And I didn't really eat much. And I didn't sleep much.
Yeah.
And I got very sick. And I was having nightmares. And then after the production, after we finished the show, I was like, maybe I should see a therapist.
Yeah.
And she did a bunch of things with me that helped me sort of let go of that and
Because you keep it in your body if you're in that world, you know.
Yeah. I just never really thought about that. I was just always like, the end. Because I was always like, rap, da, da, da.
And like everything. Walking off stage, then you're done with it.
The end. So yeah, the prep now that I do is very different to the prep I did before.
So how do you, because you did Good Girls Guide to Murder after.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how differently, before we get into details on that, how differently did you go into prep then?
I just was back in my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than playing a very young person, which I did before as well, but surrounded by people who were much younger than me. I had to, just copy them.
Just
play with them. We did a lot of off-screen bonding and chemistry.
Nice.
And so we just clicked and became best friends. And I did still think of the text as a bit of a Bible. There was one thing, there was this thing that I said three times in the show, and I was like, well, the third time's obviously a joke, right? But we didn't film it in order of the way it would play. So we filmed the second time first, and I said it like it was the second time. And then we did the third time, and I said it like it was the third, and then they cut the first one.
No.
So now I'm just saying it twice in kind of a weird way.
And you're like,
what was it? What was the line?
Don't worry.
Nobody noticed. I was going to say, please, nobody focus on it.
There's a moment where we're about to go into a party in this cave, and I go, it's a party, Pip. They're not going to have pina coladas or something like that. That, I think, was number two. Anyway, it was that's when I learned that lesson, when it came out, and I was like,
Why would they do that?
I'm so stupid. But other than that, it was just a lot of play, and we had a lot of fun. And I got to meet some of my best friends now.
That's so nice.
It was really cool.
That's something I just thought of, though. It's like, I guess coming from theatre, you don't have, you're just in the moment. And then when you're watching a show that you've been in, you don't know what the edit's going to be like and all that.
Oh my God.
Like, how does that, so for instance, with that line, that must be so, I don't know, surprising, especially the first time you see something that you've recorded and there's been a huge chunk of time, I'm assuming, between like
a year
rap and then like release.
Yeah.
How's that experience?
I think it's about do you know what? That is reminding me that it was really hard for me to let go of this control.
Right.
I like the control I have of telling this story on stage. Yeah. I know the way that it should be told. We sort of spoke about it as like writers and directors for you.
Yeah.
I know the way I want this to be told and the way I think it deserves to be told. Mm. And giving that power to someone else is really, really hard, but really important.
Mm.
It's made me realize that I'm not important, basically.
You are, but
not really. Like, you're part of a team.
Yeah.
And in theater, I think you can really fall into the fantasy of I am the main event, and I know how to. You sort of have to be a bit delusional because it's so scary.
Yeah, terrifying.
So that delusion is still there.
Yeah,
don't worry. But you also have to accept that you have to let go. And I just learned not to watch any of my stuff.
Did you see it for the first time with everyone else? Or like with TV, do you get like an early screening or anything?
There's a screening usually. If it's a movie, there's a screening of the whole movie. And if it's a series, then sometimes you get two episodes, sometimes you get three, depending on the length. So I will go to these, but in my house,
you
at home.
Sit down in the evening and go, let me watch myself on
screen. No, it's fine. The experience that I had with it, I also don't read comments and I don't read tweets. Okay. I don't read reviews.
Yeah. It feels healthy. Yeah.
No, I don't like
to do. I was
going to
say, good boundary.
Yeah.
Good boundary.
Maybe.
Can be.
Maybe it is sometimes important to do that, but I would just rather not.
Well, you've also stepped into two major franchises, like book franchises.
Yeah.
How did you approach that? Like, you know, Tattooist of Auschwitz is a book. Good Girl Scout to Murder is a book. Did you read the original text? Did you look into the fandom? Or were you like, I'm going to approach this knowing it's based on something, but as a separate project?
I read the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt...
I think you get both,
I read the books, but I studied the script, yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And because there's this team thing, I trusted that if I'm doing something that feels really far away from the book, that someone will...
Tell you.
Fix it.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like all the responsibility was on me.
Yeah.
But also I wasn't like a very big part in either of them. I was like this small, maybe in the book that she's a bigger part, like especially in Tattooist.
Yeah.
But in the series, I just got to figure out, you know, how to do this thing. I was such a baby. It's weird because it wasn't that long ago, but I felt like such a baby and like I didn't know anything. And And that's another reason, because there's such a time jump between when you wrap something and then you watch it.
Yeah.
You change so much as an actor.
Right.
That I just think you remember the feeling of doing it and it felt really fun and really nice and really positive. Mm. Watching it back, you'll just be like, well, I wouldn't have done that. No.
Yeah.
And why did I do this?
Choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just not beneficial. So I'd just rather not. And that's also why I don't really read reviews and stuff. It doesn't really matter. My job is not selling a show. Mm. My job is just being in it and acting in it. And if I enjoyed myself and had a good time, then that's how I would like to remember it.
Yeah.
That is very lovely.
Yeah. Such a good approach.
I was going to say,
yeah.
Yeah. So did you, like, I guess, especially for Good Girls Guide to Murder, since that's quite an extensive following, for both projects, did you meet the authors of the books?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Ah.
I met the author of Tattooist after we already filmed the show at the screening, and it was really special. And the second book that she wrote is about Silke, the character that I played.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I read that.
And so she had a very... And I read that too before filming. So she had a such a clear vision of this character, and the fact that I never got to talk to her about it before was a bit scary.
Yeah.
But she was really lovely.
Does she like me?
And really, please like me.
Yeah.
She was really nice and really cool and really smart. Just a really smart person.
Yeah.
It was really cool to meet her. And then Holly Jackson, who writes A Good Girl's Guide, is, she's my mate now.
Yeah.
Like, we're just friends.
She's so beloved as well by all the fandom. Yeah,
I don't really get it. I think she's the worst. she's a nightmare, and she's very inappropriate. But she's like the best and one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Yeah,
and We just went to see Lady Gaga two nights ago.
I saw this together.
Yeah.
Did you? The Mayhem Ball?
Mm-hmm. Oh, because jealous. Our friend.
I saw.
You guys, the Wednesday I don't think does, understand.
Right? Yes. That must have been insane.
Yeah. We were shitting. We just could not believe that it was the most insane.
Yeah, you just see your friend up on that stage and you're like, sorry, hello?
Just dancing with Lady Gaga.
It was bonkers. Yeah. So Holly and I were holding onto each other, shaking, like, just screaming for the whole night. So Holly's amazing and she's the best. And she's on set a lot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She's also written the scripts.
Yeah.
So she's heavily, heavily involved and opinionated.
Because that's her baby.
She should be.
Yeah. Yes. Like, again, exactly. Like we were saying. You don't want to hand over your baby.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. And she's really, she just knows.
Yeah.
Mm. And so if I ever have a question, I go to her and
you call her, you're like, Holly, help.
Yeah. And she will make fun of me for like an hour and then, and then actually give me some advice. No, she's wonderful.
Mm.
Genuinely.
And you've just recently finished filming another project, Alice and Steve, right?
Yes!
Is there anything you can share with us?
Yeah, what can you tell us about it?
It's one of the best scripts I've ever read.
Oh.
Excited.
When I first got the script, I got 4 episodes just to audition for one, you know, just to audition for a character. I didn't really know how big this character was.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the scripts and it blew my mind. I mean, I was cackling. It's a dark comedy.
Yeah.
Sophie, who wrote it, is just... an insane person. She's very, very crazy.
Yeah.
She was on Sex Education as well, wasn't she?
Yes. She wrote it and so directed good. A couple of episodes from the first season.
Yeah.
So she's like OG.
OG team. Yeah.
It's like, but this is very much not for kids.
Mm. Yeah.
At all.
You don't think your children watch this.
No. So it's Disney Plus and Clerkenwell Films, who did Baby Reindeer, The End of the Fucking World.
Oh.
So it's very...
I forgot about that show. I loved that
Such
show.
Such a good show.
Yeah, I loved that show.
It's different. Genius. And I feel like it really
was
influenced.
So weird. Yeah, I loved it.
No,
yeah.
it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And they're amazing.
Yeah.
And it's all very dark, very cinematic. I get to play a 26-year-old woman, my first above 18 character.
Woo!
Who her mother is played by Nicola Walker, and her name is Alice, and my character's name is Izzy. And Alice has a best friend, and his name is Steve, played by Jermaine Clement. And that was really close. Steve and Izzy start going out.
Oh.
Yeah. And okay. Steve is 50.
Right.
And my mother, Izzy's mother, is also 50. And Izzy is 26. So the show is sort of about what happens when that happens.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy bananas, you guys. It's bonkers.
I'm really excited for that.
Can't wait. I feel like that
really
makes sense
for
Jermaine Clement.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. I love that actor. I was working with him then.
Amazing.
I'm sure you had a lot of scenes if you're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think most of my scenes are with him. I mean, he's such a babe. He's just such a sweetheart. And he's just really kind.
Yeah.
Genuinely. And really open to anything and respected me, even though I was like the fresh face.
Yeah.
You know, I was like,
You're like, hi guys.
I was very scared, but nobody knew, nobody needs to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was really supportive and really kind and gave me really good advice. And I think we just, became really good friends very quickly.
Nice.
So, that's so nice.
All that stuff was just not uncomfortable to do and felt really easy. And one of the best experiences of my life doing this job.
Oh, I love that.
It was incredible. The whole team, the director, the DOP, makeup, hair, costumes, props, everyone.
Everyone,
producers, everyone. And the cast was just amazing. Nicola is...
I was going to say.
Hello.
I was researching this earlier. And I was like, wow.
It was just amazing to work on. Yeah. It felt like... I felt so lucky every day. I couldn't sleep sometimes because I was just so excited.
Excited to wake up the next day.
I couldn't wait.
I love that.
It was just a dream. It was like a dream, really. And working on such a good script was also I just felt so lucky
the
time. Yeah, I mean, I could cry talking about it, genuinely.
When is it coming out? Do we know?
I don't know yet. Mm. We wrapped very recently, so not for a while.
Okay.
But I'm sure it will come out in a year.
We'll keep an eye on it.
Yes, please.
Now we're all excited.
I will probably watch this, and I never watch my stuff. So this is something that I'm actually genuinely excited to watch.
That's really good then.
Because also there's a bunch of other it's such a big cast. Yeah. It's like kind of an ensemble show. Mm. So I didn't get to see a lot of things in it. Yeah. I'm really excited to see how.
I hear that quite a lot in interviews, that actors that are in these masks, like a lot of the Game of Thrones people, they skip through their scenes
to
get to, like, all the Westeros people were like, I'm over it. I want to see what Daenerys is doing.
It's like, I actually don't care about my character's story.
That's exactly what it's going to be.
That's so cool.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen. Yeah.
That's so fun.
Very lucky.
Yeah.
And the director, Tom Kingsley, is phenomenal.
Yeah, I was going to say, how was working with him?
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's so kind. Mm. And it feels like your best mate is on set.
Mm.
And he's your biggest fan. And he wants you to do really well. That's just what it feels like. I was listening to Amy Poehler. I love her podcast, Good Hang.
Yeah, of course.
So she's amazing. And she was talking about how the best way to create, to do comedy is to create a space where people feel really comfortable to fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he really is really good at creating such a safe space.
Yeah.
I just felt like there was nothing that I could do that he would be like, what was that?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't do that again.
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple of times where he was like, that didn't work, did it?
Yeah.
Nah.
And you're like,
let's
try
this. Yeah. And he was always open to listening to my ideas. Yeah. Always. Even though I, again, so fresh and I genuinely know nothing about nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think we should do it like that.
Yeah.
It's like, girl, what are you talking about? But he always gives it a go. He always tries, and most of the time it doesn't work, but I'm so grateful that he always tries.
Yeah,
it's really
that sounds like a really lovely experience then.
Yeah, it sounds like the environment was
10 out of 10.
10
out of 10.
So throughout all of your projects, what is, well, a tough question, but what's the best piece of advice that you've received as a baby on sets, you know, and being oftentimes, like, especially in this one now, like, one of the newer people to come in? Or is there a specific moment where you, I guess, realize that the pressure maybe wasn't as immense as you thought it would be on you? Like, is there a specific thing someone said to you, a specific moment where you were like, this is actually okay, I'm actually fine?
Tough question.
Sorry.
Great question. Great question. I just don't know if I have a good answer for it.
You can give us a short answer.
I've never really thought about it, actually. I've never really thought of that. I think what I've realised is my place within a production is often what I do off set.
Mm.
It's really important to me that we're all friends.
Yeah.
Something that's really, really at the top of my list. Because it's really hard for me to work with someone that I'm not friends with.
Yeah.
To a certain level.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There needs to be something.
Yeah.
The way we feel comfortable enough to do something that is very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
Right now. And it's just us two.
Yeah.
It's just us two in this space, in this room full of like 100 people.
Yeah.
And we're the ones doing something scary on screen together, and it's filmed and everyone's gonna see it.
Yeah.
So we need, I would like to have
trust.
I would like to have this trust, and I mostly want them to trust me, I think. And to like me. So I think off screen I'm very active in creating group chat.
Yeah.
And inviting everyone to dinner and making sure everyone's invited.
Yeah.
There's no hierarchy that is unacceptable.
Mm.
And I think people who think that there is are wrong and maybe in the business for the wrong reasons sometimes.
Yeah.
And so it is a privilege to be one of the leads because you can establish that.
Yeah.
Whereas I found that when I'm not one of the leads, I can't really go, hey, why aren't we all friends?
Yeah. You know, because it's like, why are we not all going to dinner?
There is that initial hierarchy there of you're on set every day, you know everyone here. So I think I realized that this is something that I do when I was told by another actor, like, that really changed the way that this felt because you made sure that everyone was always involved and on the same level. Mm-hmm. And then it happened again or another and then again. And I was like, okay, I think this is what I do.
Yeah, this is my strong suit.
I will mother.
Yeah.
I think I'm here to mother.
Yeah.
And not shying away from that.
Yeah.
And embracing it as well. Mm. But on screen, I don't know if there was something. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, well, I think I've probably also after a while, you just kind of, you know, get more and more comfortable as you go on and on and on, right? Or do you,
definitely.
Do you feel like, yeah?
Definitely. After the first week.
After the first week, yeah.
The first week, you're like, I shouldn't be here.
You're like, why am I
They've
here?
Made a huge mistake. Everyone's going to hate me and I'm going to do a terrible job. And then, yeah, and then you just do it.
Yeah.
You just get on with it.
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
with any new job, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to have any friends. Yeah. No one's going to get me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be weird again. Yeah. Like you base everything on this one experience that you had when you were 12.
Yeah, I was going to say, you went from, like, I don't know, like primary school to middle school.
That's my
Yes. Yeah. And everything initially feels like it's going to be that again, and then it's not.
Yeah.
It's kind of like someone said to me once that imposter syndrome never leaves you, and everyone's always feeling the same.
Yeah.
And she was like, my mom and she's a high court judge and she's still like, I don't know if I can do this job. And it's like, you're literally
you're like
a high court
head,
judge.
I was going to say, you're like literally as high as we can get.
And I was just like, oh, that actually makes me feel a lot better. Doesn't like,
it?
I think everyone has that insecurity of like, oh God, are they going to like, am I doing a good job? Are they going to like me?
Yeah, are they going to like me?
I feel embarrassed to ask for help. And it's like, no, it needs... Everyone is in the same boat, and I think that's so true.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I just say, just going off of that, Nicola Walker is exactly like that. If you didn't know who she was, you would think that it was her first time ever being on a film set. She doesn't know how any of it works. She's never acted before. This is all fresh. Like, before each take, she will go through her blocking. She will go through her lines. She will just, like, she works so hard. And I eventually... started making fun of her for it, obviously. Naturally.
Once you're comfortable with it,
I mean, yeah, it's so easy to make fun of. But she works so hard and she's always... sometimes she will do a take and it will be so amazing. Mm. And everyone, like, the first is gulping down tears as he's saying, cut. And then it will end and she'll be like, that was really shit, we need to do another one.
And I'm like, and you're just like, what?
Wow, if Nicola Walker thinks this.
Say, like my friend's mum. Yeah. She's like such a, you know, Nicola Walker's like such a
hard
She's
on a herself. CEO.
Amazing.
Yeah, she like, is
of acting.
CEO.
Drama actor here. And like, that's so, I guess, like... I don't know, kind of hot. I feel bad saying heartwarming because she's nervous.
But
like,
it is. No, it is.
But
because
it's like, someone's approachable, you know?
Yeah. And it's just a feeling. Do you, like, it's not...
It's not reality.
It's not who you are.
That's right. Like, even people who are the best of the best are nervous.
So and especially, like, in, like, as an actor, you experience being the new person in a job multiple times a year.
Yeah,
because
true.
You go to... You know, I just started a new job recently and I was... peeing my pants. I was texting these two every day being like, what if they hate me? And like, this is the first time in two years I'm doing this. If you're an actor or you're working actively in film, you approach these new projects like the newbie once, twice, three times a year. That's terrifying.
But also
so exciting.
Yes. You have to be really good at finding connections with people very quickly.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll meet someone for the first time and then you're like, okay, we are boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
And we have been, like, my first scene on Alice versus Steve was with Jermaine Clement. My first scene on set, my first day was us on the stairs kissing.
Oh,
yeah.
No way. First scene.
Oh my God. Like, hi, nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm Yanni.
Yeah.
Let's kiss on the mouth.
Yeah.
You have to be really, 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 really good at connecting very quickly, I think, so that you can do it and do it well.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Like, just doing a good job.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, part of that is becoming kind of friends.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Sadly.
What a shame.
Oh,
I have a friend.
So many friends. Is there... What's next? Like, what have you got anything coming up or anything coming out soon?
On the 5th of October, which will be before this comes out, so it's already out. I have a second season of a show called House of David that I filmed.
Of course.
And I really, really enjoyed filming the second season. Yeah. I got to have a real storyline.
Yeah.
And she's a woman, and she's a strong woman.
Yeah,
she loved a hero.
Yeah, I really felt very grateful for the writers. I actually got to be in the writer's room and write a bunch of my stuff, which was really cool and influenced.
Was that a first for you?
First time,
That must have been so exciting.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, they are really, they just want the show to be really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're really open to any ideas. And, you know, they're a bunch of middle-aged men.
Yeah.
Sorry. But they are, and they're trying to write this young woman's story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it felt really lovely that they were like, what do you think?
That's really nice.
That's
amazing.
It's really cool. So I got to say a lot about what I think, and they really listened, and they changed my entire plotline from the initial script that we got into this whole new thing that felt like, I just feel like people might relate to her. I hope so. Mm. I really love her a lot. Mm. I really love this character, and I loved playing her. And so that's coming out on the 5th. Yay, and then exciting. The second season of A Good Girl's Guide to Murder will be coming out soon on Netflix. So please watch it. I don't love the character as much. She turns into kind of a bitch because she's very young. Mm. She's 17. And she's easily influenced.
Yeah.
And she just sort of loses herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, she loses herself.
I feel like a lot of 17-year-olds have been there.
I think they'll relate.
Yeah.
I think so.
They'll relate. I hope so.
Yeah.
I still love her.
Yeah.
But, I don't love the things that she does or says. But she looks fabulous. The
nice.
Outfits are fabulous.
She's doing it in style.
Yeah. I look like a Barbie doll. Like, the clothes were amazing. The costumes were amazing. So that will be coming out. And then Alice and Steve will be coming out.
So a lot coming out. Look at you guys.
I've got a movie that I was a part of. I was a very small part of it, but I'm still very proud of it because the script is amazing. It's called CC Emily. And it will be coming out soon as well.
Gosh, so exciting.
You're rolling. Yeah.
That's it.
It's amazing.
Wow.
That's all.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me. You guys are all so lovely and so cool. Let's be friends.
Yeah, let's make a group chat.
I'm on it. I will mother this.
Like the new environment. No, but truly, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
I can't wait to watch everything. Coming out soon.